Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
Last week, I came on and I said, I bitched just about my life and things that were happening, and I needed a personal win, you know? All that great stuff. I'm still waiting for that fucking win, dude. Life is kicking me in the balls.
Well, you have some scenery out back now. Snow falling.
Fuck the snow.
Country palisade.
Country palisade. I can't even get the firewood to the house now. Well, actually, I think I've... So I've got one of those mules, right? It's a 4010 Kawasaki mule.
Well, right now it's like a mew.
I got to put... It's put back together.
It didn't have an ass end. It's a mew.
So the girls go out of town for Thanksgiving, and I'm like... I'm going to hunt my ass off. I have like 3 full days. I can do whatever I want. I get the mule out. I drive it down. I change the camera cards. I come back. So the way they work is they have a spline, okay, like an axle. It's like, I don't know, this long. Spline's on it. It's got a hub. And then out the other side is a U-joint. And then that goes down to the wheel, right? The spline is sticking out of the rear end like 4 inches. There is differential fluid everywhere. I mean, fucking everywhere. In the garage, all up the drive. I mean, everywhere. Come to find out that, so this hub where the splines go through, right? All there is holding those two things together is a, you know what a spring retainer clip is? Like on a backhoe bucket.
Yeah.
That's it. This motherfucker's wore the hell out. I'm thinking, oh, no big deal. I won't hunt Thursday. No big deal. 12 hours later into the weekend, Thursday, Friday, I get that thing fucking put back together. I'm so close to selling that fucking thing. Like, I know some Japanese dude engineered that, because to get to one thing, you have to take apart, like, the whole mule.
Oh, yeah.
Like, take apart everything for a part that's $1.67 that's so important. I was losing it, man.
It is a Kawasaki.
I was fucking losing it.
Yeah.
Then the girls get back. This is just going to be another bitch fest for a little bit. The girls get back. So before they went on Wednesday, Janine and I went to the store and I bought a turkey. I always like doing a turkey, whether it's Thanksgiving, after, whatever. I'm like, I'll thaw it out. When you guys get back, we'll make it. They get back. Turkey's thawed out. Sunday morning, I go to look at it. Have you ever seen a fucking turkey where they've already cut the legs off of it and the wings off of it, and the only thing it is a turkey breast, body, and rib cage?
No.
Yeah, me fucking neither. It says on the bag, I didn't catch it, just breast meat and a rib cage. There's no legs, there's no thighs, there's no fucking wings.
They took the essence.
They took all the good shit that makes the white meat good and threw it the fuck away. And so I got the 7-pound shitbag turkey that's not going to have any good flavor. It's fucking, like, it won't sit up right in the pan. It just falls over. So I muster through that, right, on Sunday. I make it, you know. I make the whole fucking thing.
Was there a handicap placard or something on
worst fucking...
Like, he ain't got no legs.
You got no legs, Lieutenant Diane. The worst turkey I've ever eaten, too. It was horrible. Like, no fat on it, just dried out, shitty. Needless to say, I was very disappointed on Sunday. Very fucking disappointed on Sunday.
So we went to her parents for Thanksgiving.
God. I'm still butthurt about it, if you can't fucking tell.
Somehow... Usually, I can't contain myself on Thanksgiving. I just eat all day long.
Oh, dude, me too. It's fantastic.
Somehow, I managed to go through the whole day by eating about, like, I don't know, 11 billion deviled eggs.
Yes.
And, like...
Then getting the shits.
A piece of pumpkin pie. Like, literally...
You didn't eat turkey? You just ate eggs and pie?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
My whole plate was... So Danielle made like 78 deviled eggs or some 72 deviled eggs or something.
Mm,
and we learned a way to not cook hard-boiled eggs. Since we had to cook so many of them, I'm like, I wonder if I can put those in my sous vide and cook them that way.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
You can, but don't do it the way we did.
You know, they make an egg cooker.
Well, we
sits on your counter.
We just hard-boiled them. But we ruined... two cartons of eggs.
Why?
The sous vide, like, it made them hard, but they were the softest hard-boiled eggs ever, and they wouldn't peel. They were just crumbling and falling apart.
I hate when that happens.
And so...
Fresh eggs are hard. They do that, too.
Well, we have a method for hard-boiling eggs. It works, and they peel perfectly and everything else, and that method with sous vide cooking does not work. I think the sous vide, like, gets them up to temperature for too long.
I'd say it gets...
It gets them under temperature, but for a long enough time to where they're cooked, but it's...
Doesn't cook them fast enough.
It doesn't cook them fast enough.
Yeah, to allow that yolk and everything and
to
shrink inside of there.
So, we ruined that, but I mean, it's two cartons of eggs, no big deal. We got
$5.
We got Trump egg prices back, so yeah, it didn't cost me $43.
I still don't understand all that. Everyone, back when they were supposed to be expensive, they're $8, they're $9, they're $10. I'd go to the store and they'd be $3.50.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's because they're following the news where the one place found the most expensive.
Right. We're 60 Minutes drove to California, and we're like, let's find the most expensive farm fresh eggs we can. $12.99 a dozen.
Yeah, I was watching some liberal media outlet trying to grill the press secretary. I think it was the press secretary, somebody. And they were like, eggs are at historically high prices. And they were like, no, they're not. And they were like, I just paid $12 for a dozen. And they were like, stop going to Trader Joe's. I don't know what to tell you. Like, vegan, organic, like.
Dude, I don't understand. Like, around us, we're pretty country around here, right? But you can go on the local community page and go, hey, does anyone have farm fresh eggs for sale? And like 10 people are like, yeah, they're $3 a dozen.
Yeah.
$2. If you buy five, I'll give them to you for free. Just take them.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I will say this. Farm fresh eggs, I will never eat store-bought eggs again.
Yeah.
They're drastically different. They're better.
They seem more dense.
They are dense. They got more flavor.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
They're darker yellow.
Yeah.
They're thicker.
They're good.
Yeah.
God, they're good. And then yesterday, one more bitch session. It snows yesterday. No big deal. All the schools to the east of us are closed. Lee Summit goes. I'm like, good. Because last year, like, it would be half an inch, and they'd be like, no school today.
Yep.
So they go to school. I get a call in the middle of the day from the bus department that's like, hey, we're not running your route today. Like, what do you mean you're not running our route today on the way home? They're like, your road's too bad, and the roads in Lake Lautawanna and the surrounding area are too bad. We're not taking the kids home. I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Well, you'll have to pick your kid up. And like, is that even a thing? So at like 2 in the afternoon, maybe it was like 2:15, I text you. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm up here at Layla's school. I don't know if I'm going to make our first call. I had to come pick her up.
Yeah.
And we took another girl home that's on our route. Like, her parents both work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are people supposed to do? Layla said, well, they called us all into the counselor's office and then took us in the back. And they were like, this is where you're going to come if your parents don't come to get you. And they were like, half the kids were like, well, can I call my mom? No, you can't have phones in school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't you think this is like the one time you could say, hey, go get your phone.
Yeah.
And let's have all of you contact your parents. And
the state law literally says for emergency use or for educational purpose.
And it's so dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're up there and I went early because I knew at 3:15.
You think canceling bus service is an emergency?
Yeah, probably. I knew it was going to be chaos. And I told Janine, I said, we're going right now. She's like, well, we'll have to park and do this. I said, no, we're not. I'm going to the front door. You're going to get out, and I'm staying there. And they're like, sir, you can't park here. I was like, I'm not parked. I literally put the thing in drive and left my foot on the brake. I'm like, I'm not parked here.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting.
I'm in the standing.
The guy's looking at me like I'm an asshole. Yeah. And I know I was. I was like, dude, what am I supposed to do, man?
Yeah.
I got to come and pick up my kid unannounced in the middle of the day. Dude, there were like 50 cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, dude, when the buses get here and school's out at 3:15, can you imagine the chaos?
Yep.
These people are in charge of our kids.
Yeah.
They should be wiping their own ass.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, needless to say, the last 2 weeks, I've been a real bitch.
We had an eventful day yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you did have an eventful day.
With the snow, Mason.
We didn't have an eventful day.
Well, I did.
Mason had
an eventful day. Mason had it more than me. But so Mason loves to play jokes on me. And one of the recent Chiefs games, he brought some people. They parked at our house, and he was their, like, Uber driver. And brought them and dropped them off at Arrowhead, and then we took them home after the game.
Oh, okay.
And he calls me, like, 20 minutes after he drops them off, and he's like, "Dad, we got a problem." And I'm like, "What's the problem?" And he goes, "Well, Nick and Lauren, the people that he was dropping off, they were drinking in the truck when I dropped him off, and now I've been pulled over, and there's open containers in the car." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, yeah, that is a problem." You know, I'm like, "Let me talk to the officer." And, well, he's at his car, and I'm like, "Well, I'll stay on the phone. Like, I mean, we're probably in trouble, but, like, let's just de-escalate it as much as we can."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm pulling in the garage."
What a dick.
And I'm like, "You fucking asshole, right?" So,
what a shithead.
So yesterday, Mason's a wheel man. He can drive anything. You know, he just good at driving.
Yep. I challenge that as of right now.
As of yesterday.
As of right now.
And so
he's a wheel man.
He was like, "I'm going to go do donuts in the church parking lot." Okay. See ya. Like, take a shovel and take some boots and, you know, call me if you put yourself in a ditch. And so he leaves.
Bad parenting.
And he's going up our street, and he's all sideways and squirrely up the street and everything else, just having fun. Like 3 minutes later, Danielle gets a phone call, and it's Mason. And Danielle's like, "Why are you calling me?" And she goes, "Well, I tried calling Dad, but he didn't answer." And so she looks over at me, and she's like, "Your son's trying to call you." So she hangs up on him, and I call him. And as I'm calling him, she's like, "He's probably wrapped around a tree somewhere."
Yeah.
And so I answer the phone, or Mason answers the phone, and I'm like, "What's up?" And he goes, "I hit a light pole on Adams Dairy, like one of the big light poles."
There's always three down every year. And now I know someone that's fucked one of them up.
And I'm like, "Yeah, right." And he goes, "No, really, like, my door won't open," and all that. And I was getting ready to leave for the gym. And so, and that's on my way to the gym.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking he's pulling my leg again. And so I don't even rush out of the house or anything. I stay there and make my protein shakes and take my pre-workout. And Danielle's like, "Aren't you going to go to your son?" I'm like, "He's fine." And she was like, she's like,
"He's fine.
You need to go. I'll go if I need to." And I'm like, "I'm going,
dude."
And so I go. And sure enough, I come around over the hill on Adams Dairy, and there's his red truck
fucking jackass
with a light pole, like, on the ground. And
I saw the photo. Who was the guy wiring off the power?
The city.
Oh, the city had
The city
up.
Came and had to make the wires safe.
Did he call the city, or did they just show up?
I think one of the passerbys called the cops or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because the city guy, like, I'm like, "All right, this, you know, it's unfortunate, but there's no injuries and there's no other cars involved."
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure that police and the city has a lot better things to do with their time right now than deal with this.
Yeah, that'd be a walk-in report.
Yeah, so I'm like, "We'll just go home and we'll just handle this from the phone at home." Well, then a city guy pulls in, and Mason's like, "Who's this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's probably somebody with the city about the light pole." And so he comes over and says, I said, "Do you guys get notified? Like, are you guys monitoring the power usage? And,
no.
Like, you get notified, like a smart grid?" And he goes, "No, somebody called it in." And he says, "There's an officer on the way, too." And I'm like, "Oh, well, we were just going to call it in, but I guess we'll just wait." And so we're standing around there, and I'm helping the guy. And I move the fucking light pole out of the road. I asked Mason, I'm like, "Is a light pole in the road?" He goes, "No." I get there, light pole's in the fucking road.
Of course it is.
And so I move and those are like these old... For those that don't know what we're talking about, it's not a wooden light pole. It's like an ornate metal.
They're thick, dude.
They're fucking heavy.
When they go down, they usually don't bend. They put them back up
if
they're not fucked up.
Yeah, they'll put this one back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it broke the bases. Like they got the big...
They got the snap away base.
Cast iron bases. It broke that, but like they'll probably put this one back up. But so I'm like moving this light pole out of the road and everything else, and the city guy shows up, and so I help him tape off the wires and all of that. And then a cop shows up, and I didn't even let the cop really get out of the car. I just walked over to him and I said, "Hey, I'm sure you're probably really busy.
Yesterday was a train wreck.
Yeah. I'm like, I've already taken a bunch of photos. I gave them to the city guy because the city guy was wanting some photos. We were just going to call it in. And he looked at me straight in the eye and he goes, you'd be doing me a favor if you could do that. I'd appreciate it.
That guy didn't want to be there.
No, he didn't want to be there. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you go on and we'll just handle this. So we handled it. But most likely he totaled his truck. Not because it's over, like...
No, because it's a shitty ass.
Because
old
it's
truck.
A $5,000 truck, right? It doesn't take much to total a $5,000 truck. But the worst, thankfully, he had full coverage, so he's going to be out a $500 deductible.
Full coverage, good parenting. Letting your kid do donuts in the snow, bad parenting.
Yeah.
Live and learn.
Bad. I'm bad. 50-50.
Yeah, you're bad. 500.
Yeah, 50-50. 50-50. Oh, we live. 50-50. We die. Yeah, 50-50.
I can't believe they made a cop come out there. You know, when it snows like this, they say they'll go on the news and be like, hey, if you get in an accident and it's non-injury.
Yeah, call it in.
Walk in and just fill out a report or call it in and fill out a report. We don't have, like, we have people that are in serious injuries. We got serious shit going on. We don't have time to deal with your piddly bullshit.
Yeah. Well, we didn't call it in, so I'm
sure
somebody else was like, oh, there's a horrible accident.
Well, the city fights with the cops and everything. They're like, nope, we need somebody to come out here and, you know, and their cops are probably like, really?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
And I'm sure the city needs it for their HR department and for their... insurance and
you got to keep all those overpaid people busy and then complain that the city doesn't have any money to fix the roads and shit.
Well somehow apparently they've already picked up the light pole. Like I slid it, I got it off the road and then it was crossing the sidewalk and I'm like, well, I don't want to block the sidewalk. I know how like long the city takes to fix this shit, and so I went ahead and moved it beyond the sidewalk and had it in the grass on the far side of the sidewalk. and a couple of people have driven by and they're like, I don't see a light pole down. I don't know which one he hit. Some people, like, most people think the light pole's already back up. And I'm like, there's no fucking way they put that up yesterday.
First off, no.
No. The city don't move that quick.
So when we lived over on the other side of town, like, we had, our only way out was Adams Dairy.
Yeah.
There was always a pole down. And when it was down for like months.
Yeah.
Months before they'd fucking put it back up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least he's all right.
Yeah, and I'm glad it was a breakaway metal pole and not a wooden telephone pole buried in the ground.
Or a tree.
He'd have been fucked if it were a wooden pole, for sure. So,
man, you'd be surprised. Like, he could have hurt him a little bit, but...
Yeah.
I mean, how fast could he have been going? 40?
He says...
I love it. He says...
This is coming out of a 16-year-old boy's mouth, so you have to take it with a grain of salt. He says he... topped of the hill at about 20 miles an hour and then got up to about 30 going down the hill and decided he didn't want to go any faster. And when he touched the brakes, the back tires locked up. And and then he was just along for the ride. I have a feeling you could...
That could be true.
Well, when I pulled up, you could see his skid marks.
Oh.
He skid for a long ways. Now, granted, it was downhill and it was really fucking slick. If I had to guess, he probably topped the hill at 30 and got up to 40 and decided
I'm
too
going
much.
Too fast.
And, I mean, the skid marks are this long, gradual, like he was pointing to the left, and he ends up crossing the center line. And then it's this super long, gradual, pointed to the right, and just...
Couldn't stop.
Like, well, I think what it is he stabbed the brakes and never let off the brakes.
Oh, yeah, you got to let go and then try to give it some gas and straighten that
bitch
out.
Try to give it some gas or pump the brakes and all that. I think he just panicked and...
Let's be honest, if that's the worst wreck he ever gets in...
I know.
That's not bad.
No. No.
And lesson learned.
And the all kids wreck their cars eventually.
Oh, yeah.
If you understand that all kids are going to wreck their car eventually, then you're praying for a non-injury... no other cars involved accident to like
shock them
like
into reality.
Everybody needs that one crash to be like, oh shit, I'm not invincible. Yeah. Right. And so like in the grand scheme of things, this is like the best way it could happen. And, he's fine and all that. His truck's royally fucked, but it sucks that he's got a brand new transmission in that truck that doesn't even have 1,000 miles on it yet. And a brand new gas tank that doesn't even have, it hadn't even had one full... Like, I think it's had one tank of gas run through it.
Didn't you guys have to work on the engine, too?
Oh, just a little piddly...
Piddly shit?
Tune-up shit. Nothing. Like, plugs and
that's the worst.
Change.
That's what... when I had to change spark plugs in that F-150 I had, which was a nightmare, they're all broke off. I had to tap them all and get them out. My truck got stolen like 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And then they wrecked it. I was more mad that I had spent all that time working on that motherfucker than anything else. Or don't like, think I was fucking mad.
Don't think that I'm not thinking about a way to find a way to yank the transmission out of it before they pick it up and haul it off.
Dude,
and, like,
bring
hawk
that?
The, you know, yeah. find a junker transmission to throw back in it. Because they're just going to scrap the thing.
Probably.
So.
Well, if they're going to scrap it, they're not going to care if there's a fucking transmission in
just
it.
Just take the transmission completely
yeah,
out.
Yeah, just take it out. Who gives a fuck? Say it's on the side of the road if they want to get it. It dropped the tranny. What do you want me to do? When you hit that curb, it just fucking popped
yeah,
out of there.
The bolts came out and everything. It's
yeah,
weird.
If you don't like it, call the guy that put it in. He must have fucking half-assed it. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't
know. Where's the gas tank? That I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened
put
to the gas
tank.
In
it. But that was only like it was $140 for the tank and the pump. And then it was another like $200 in extra bullshit that broke when we were trying to replace it. So
what is it with mechanical shit this year? Man, we've had a bunch of guys in Tradewinds. They've had issues with their vehicles, guys wrecking them having to fix them. I've been having to fix shit. You've been having to fix shit. It's just for some reason, maybe it's just my world. I feel like everyone is just working on shit right now.
Yeah.
Just working on shit. And every time, like when we have the Tradewinds calls, the guys are pissed. Mm-hmm. Fuck that thing. I hate that thing. Get rid of that fucking thing.
Yep.
I was the same way about that mule. That thing has 400 hours on it. I was like, fuck this thing. It's in great shape.
You know, now that I think about it, I guess we have had a lot of mechanical breakdowns.
Yes, you had. You had
Danielle's car getting stolen a year ago, almost getting stolen 6 months ago.
The new car, or when she bought it,
yeah.
And the whole rear end was fucked up,
the
rear shocks or whatever.
The rear shock barely bolted onto it. My guy's crashing van. We crashed like 5 vans in 4 months.
Yeah. A lot of shit's broken right
my
now.
My boat almost caught on fire. The thruster controller on the boat almost caught on fire.
Yeah, you ripped the thing off of the
trailer prop,
and
yeah,
dinged the prop all the fucking
yeah,
hell.
Somehow the prop grabbed the transom strap that was retracted. Like, shouldn't have grabbed it, but somehow the prop grabbed it. And
my brother, when things are going like just randomly, chaotically fucked up, he's like, you're just not living right. He's like, you're watching degrading porn, aren't you? Like, he just brings up the most random shit. He's like,
this is karma.
You're just not living right. Something's fucked up.
That's funny.
I'm like, is that why you just don't leave the house? Yep.
Yep.
I just stay here. Then I can't fuck anything up. Everything's fine.
That's good.
No, it's not good. It's fucking horrible. God, I'm sick of working on shit. And that's the worst part. We'll move on. But like when we were talking about this with Dean. Like if you got a classic car and you're just working on it as you're at your leisure, and it's for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is great. I feel like a man. This is, I'm,
yeah.
you know, doing something. But then when it's holding your guys up from working or you up for working or you need a piece of equipment and you're trying to hastily get it running,
yeah,
it's, you hate everything about it.
Yeah.
Like you are in a bad mood. It's just awful. It's amazing that those two things can be so far apart.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah. Like we started on Mason's gas tank and I kind of chalked up to being, it's going to be an all day thing just because the bottom of that truck has so much rust on it.
Yeah.
And surprisingly enough, we got like 3 hours in and we were almost like we were on the downhill side of things.
You're like, yes.
And, I mean, we did break some stuff. There was a poorly designed sensor on the top of the gas tank that you have to unscrew. It's like a twist lock. Sensor.
Yeah.
And just the way that it's designed.
They're like, one time in and then after 20,000
yeah, it's going
miles,
to snap off
fucked.
When you try to remove it. Well, that sensor was like $90 and, you know, crap like that. But we, like, that went smooth. I have a light in the camper shell, like an LED dome light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Lear is the manufacturer of the camper shell, and they give you all these wiring instructions to wire it up and everything else.
That stuff's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was wired in right, but that light never worked. But it like one, there's like 15 LEDs in it and one LED would partially come on. And so you're like,
this strip's fucked.
It's trying to work. So then I just cut the light out and then I strip the wires and plug it straight to a battery and bling, it's as bright as can be. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
we got a voltage issue somewhere. So I start backtracking it and everything else. And in the Lear bed cap, it's got a wiring harness that's like plug. Like you run a wiring harness out of your bed, and it's got a wiring harness in the bed cap.
Yeah, plug together.
So when you put the cap on, you just connect the wires, and that way your door, like it's got lock solenoids for the rear camper shell door. It's got a third brake light.
Oh, so you can run all that stuff together.
Yeah. Okay. So like when you lock your truck, it locks the camper shell, and it's got a third brake light, and then it's got a dome light, and then it's got an auxiliary wire. And the dome light thing was not getting voltage. And it was weird. It would get like you'd put a voltage on it and it would be like 6, 3, 0, 1, 9, 12, 6, 3. Like it was like cycling.
That's weird.
It was odd. And so I'm like, that is interesting. And so I go on Amazon and I buy these pin removal things so I can pull the pins out of the...
Yeah, pin removal tool.
Yeah. So I can pull the pins out of the wiring harness and move it over to the auxiliary one.
I think I got one.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They're like 10 bucks.
$4.
Yeah.
But so I was going to move the wiring harness over to the auxiliary wires. Like, okay, if the dome line wires, if there's something wrong with that circuit, I'm just going to go to the auxiliary. Move it to the auxiliary. And this is like two or three Mondays ago before Monday Night Football. And I'm like, babe, Mason and I are going to handle this real quick, and then I'll be in to watch the game. 4 hours later. Turns out, trucks are so freaking smart nowadays, they don't have an always hot, constant wire on the back of them. They're all conditional. So, like, this wire's hot as long as the truck's on and your foot's on the brake. This wire's hot as long as the truck's on. This wire's hot if the truck's on and it's in park. And so, like, we're going through all of these different wires on these sensors, and they're so overprotected and everything else. I'm like, fuck it. We ran a new wire all the way to the battery. I'm like, we're just going to skip all of this crap.
I'm telling you, man. So, people wonder why their insurance is so expensive. It's because sensors.
Yeah.
Specialty circuit boards, like crazy stuff like that. Why is like that truck $120,000? I don't know. It's got 57 fucking circuit boards in it.
There's like 23 wires going into the back taillight. Like, why do we need that much electronics in a taillight?
I get made. People make fun of me a lot. You are one of them. So is my brother. Because I hate technology.
Yeah.
And I just think it's way overcomplicated and we don't need it. It makes us dumber. It makes things more complicated. It makes things more expensive.
Yep.
I saw a post the other day and made me, like, I knew I was right. It was a guy that was younger than me, and he was like, man, I just bought this truck, and I'm so happy. And then he pans to it. It's like a 1988 Chevy square body.
He can work on
it. He's like, it's carbureted. I can fix anything on it by just going to O'Reilly's or AutoZone. He's like, it's great. And I was like, just applauding. Like, yes.
Yep.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
No more headaches. No more 4 hours chasing a fucking light for no fucking reason.
Right.
I just, man, that shit drives me crazy. And I know people are like, he's just dumb and can't figure it out. And maybe that's true.
Maybe.
But fuck that shit.
Yeah.
It's still a headache.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Ugh. We rambled on too long about that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want to actually talk about today?
Well, first, I'm going to brag about the shirt that I got. Field Pulse sent me a nice shirt. It's actually really freaking comfortable.
They sent me some stuff.
Yeah, you're going to...
My wife was watching. It is...
You'll want to watch the video of
this questionable
podcast next week.
I will wear it all next week. It is... Let me just say this.
You're going to look like a male cheerleader on Saturday Night Live.
That is a really good-looking, comfortable, regular shirt.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of those.
Yeah.
I got some fucked up shit.
We'll see what
you get. I'll wear it next week.
So Field Pulse is the field service software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. They have advanced features to run your CRM, your customer relationship management system. They'll handle your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching, good, better, best proposals. They'll run your maintenance plans, and they'll even import the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software that you're already using every day, like QuickBooks Online and Desktop. So you can hit the ground running without ever changing how you do your day-to-day business. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, it keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying that. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8 rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
Today, we're going to talk about,
wait. Drum roll.
Accountability. So.
I can't tell if that's going to be good or bad.
It should be good. As long as people, like, listen, right?
I was thinking more of myself, but go ahead.
So, like, accountability. We face it in our business life. We face it in our personal life, all of our relationships, everything. And it sure seems that most people are conditioned to shed accountability, pass accountability, shift accountability. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're uncomfortable taking accountability. But when they do that, they just put... Like we all complain when people move goalposts, right? When the government kept moving the goalposts around COVID and saying it's just 2 weeks, so it's two more weeks, it's another 10 days, it's, you know, all of that stuff. And they kept moving the goalposts back. When we design or when we decide to refuse accountability, we're moving our goalposts back on ourselves. And so, you know, accountability really is kind of the linchpin for like everything we do. And where this comes up or where this manifests is like yesterday, my son crashed in his truck. You know, a typical 16-year-old is going to try to deny accountability. He's going to say, my brakes locked up, something malfunctioned, something broke, right? And it's like their natural go-to reaction because they don't want to say, I ran out of talent, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Mason, I'm going to say, took accountability for 90% of it. He was like, the tires locked up and they didn't ever unlock. And, but he didn't realize that he's probably, the reason they didn't unlock is because the moment your truck starts sliding, you send like twice the pressure on that brake pedal.
Yeah.
Thinking maybe I'm not hitting the brakes hard enough. And then you just panic and freeze.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't him not taking accountability. That was him just not knowing.
Yes.
That's a little different. Do you remember when your brother wrecked that orange Mustang into the mini storage?
Uh-huh.
And we all know he was hauling ass.
Yeah.
And jacking ass around and tried to tell everyone.
30 minutes after he got his driver's license.
And he tried to tell everyone that he was
the truck
fidgeting with the radio and a
veered
truck
off the road.
Yeah.
The car veered off the road.
Yeah. Like, dude, no, you fucking wrecked it because you were jackassing around.
Yeah.
Like, just own it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, before we get too far into it, I think a lot of it, holding yourself accountable is a lot of it's a character issue.
Yeah.
You know, how you're raised, how you view things.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing is once you master accountability, everything becomes attainable at that point. And you look through the world through a whole different lens when you start to master accountability. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was some chatter on our neighborhood Facebook page about behavior at the pool. And there was this parent of younger kids, and there were these high school kids or teenagers at the pool, and this boy and this girl were kissing. And so this parent gets on our neighborhood Facebook page and starts complaining that their child had to watch teenagers making out at the pool. And they were trying to get the entire neighborhood to parent their kids the way that this complaining parent wants them to. And it was like, you need to have a talk with your kids. This behavior is not acceptable in public. My kids shouldn't have to be subjected to seeing that and blah, blah, blah. And the accountability side of me jumps on and I'm like, hey, parenting is not changing the world for your kid to see a better world. Parenting is literally preparing your kid for what they will see in the world.
Yeah.
And so instead of expecting the whole neighborhood to talk with their kids about not making out at the pool because you don't like it, how about you have a conversation with your kid about that's behavior that I don't really like, but they're their own people and they get to do that. But I don't want to see you do that. Like, parent your kid how you're going to parent them. Don't expect somebody to change their parenting style just because they now found out you're offended.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah.
Right.
Or I mean, if the kids are that little, like, take them home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like if you're really that offended.
If it's that important to you that they be raised without, like, you can be accountable and pick your kids up and walk. Well, then that takes away from my pool time. Those kids won't be there forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they live there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just. And even today, there was some other chatter on a Facebook group. Of course, it was an anonymous post.
You haven't brought up anonymous. You've been on a good streak lately.
I know. And they were like, everybody needs to have a conversation with their children. My kids are teetering on the age of not believing in Santa anymore, and they're coming to me with questions because kids at their school say Santa isn't real. So everybody needs to talk to their kids about that. And it's like, see, hold on. Some random anonymous person that's too cowardly to even post with their identity attached thinks they can demand how all parents in the school district handle Santa.
She posted anonymously because she knew she was going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Like it.
And
that's fantastic.
I simply said, like, Santa is it's a unique individual conversation with each individual kid that every parent has to have with their own kid.
Yeah.
And to expect everybody to be on the same page with it ain't happening. And to expect everybody to parent their kids the way you want them to also isn't happening.
Or acceptable on any level.
And then they were like, I'm not asking them to parent their kids in my style. I'm asking them to have a conversation with their kids. And I'm like, yeah, that's called parenting.
Dude, I'm telling you, I get a lot of flack for saying people are getting dumber.
Yeah.
People are getting dumber, well, dude. I'm just, ugh.
So you wonder why I bag on anonymous posts all the time. If that anonymous feature wasn't there, I guarantee you they never would have posted it.
I know.
So
I am in agreement with the anonymous post thing.
It enables that crap.
I hate people that don't. If you're too scared to say who you are and what you believe in,
yeah,
you shouldn't be saying anything.
Yeah. You don't really believe in it if you're too scared to say it.
Yeah. Like, it's not, people always want to go back to the, well, if she says that her husband's beating her and then he finds out, that's different.
Yeah.
You can't use that veil to cover all of your idiocracy.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
It's just fucking stupid.
And it's smart, like literally, if you're in Facebook and you shake your phone, that's all it takes to say, oh, you want to report a problem?
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. If you open Facebook.
I'm not
And you, you go to any kind of a post and you just shake your phone, it'll pop up a thing saying, oh, would you like to report a problem? Like a post or a bug or...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so, like...
It's because I hate social media, but
if
whatever.
The guise for keeping anonymous posts out there is for domestic violence and domestic abuse situations, they could literally have a button on the menu. Need to report a domestic problem discreetly?
Yeah, they
Here
should.
Here you go. And
yeah, they should.
Facebook is smart enough. They could connect you with local authorities and local resources to help you get out of that, and it would all be anonymous. And... You know, the battered women's shelter is going to text you.
Yeah.
Their name on Facebook is Julia Myers.
Did you just pull that out of your ass?
Well,
that's hilarious.
Right. And it's going to come through your marketplace chat. Like they could totally disguise all of that to make it look like you're chatting with somebody you're trying to sell something to.
Yeah.
You're like, there's the domestic violence excuse for keeping anonymous posts out there is just retarded.
Well, it's not that it's
so
an excuse for keeping them out there. It's the excuse that they... Well, you're right. I guess it is so that they're out there. But yeah, people just, they will use that to blanket excuse anything.
Yeah. Ironically, Danielle shared a post the other day that was talking about, so like this person is married to a special needs man. And this lady posted about how sick of girls groups she is because girls are catty and vindictive and they're constantly looking for a place. Now, this is this girl's opinion. They're constantly looking for a place to get offended and get upset.
I agree 100%.
And I mean, most women are, right? Like, most women, their best friends, I guarantee you, they were judging the fuck out of that person the first time they met them. I don't know if I like her. Her hair's prettier than mine. She must be a bitch. Like, that's kind of how women are, right?
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Dude, there are literally girls that are, I've seen this happen. I'm not making this up. I have seen them, the moms, on not Layla's current soccer team. It's actually okay, but on other ones. There'll be three or four of them over there talking
yep.
about one of them badly. That one will walk over there, and they are best friends.
Yep.
A different one of them will leave, and they will talk hella shit on that girl, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe they let their kids do this.
Yeah.
Do you believe she fucking dresses like that to come to the soccer game? It's like, are you, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Like, well, we just tell each other we're put, that guy's a pussy.
This, this girl that Danielle shared the post of, she summarized it with, like some, this post was created because she used the word retarded somewhere.
And I love that the R word's back, by the way.
And she was getting flack by all of these eggshell walking people. Oh, we can't say that word. We can't say that word. No, no. Literally, the word means delayed. Okay? So when we're talking about a physical person, yes, if they're developmentally delayed, they are retarded. And that's not derogatory. It's like factual, right? But the reason it had such a misnomer around it was because as kids, being mean kids that mean kids are, they're, you're retard or whatever, yeah. Right? But like in an engine, if you're trying to time an engine, you're either going to have it advanced, top dead center, or
retarded.
Retarded.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean your engine is physically disabled. That means it's igniting after it's a delayed ignition.
Yeah.
Right? And so this lady,
I'm trying to decide where I want to go with this conversation.
Well, so this lady was like, and that includes people that choose to stay around conversations where they were offended by the word retarded, and they force themselves into that interaction even longer just because they want to be petty and argue with how they don't like, some stranger walks up to me and says, like, I don't like that you use a word that I don't like. Okay.
Dude,
fucking walk on, you know?
Dude,
scroll on.
I have taught Layla. Do you ever question your parenting? I question mine all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
I literally have told
her. There's no manual for this shit, so we don't have anything else to do but question.
I literally have told her when she's bullied at school or somebody says something, or like you were saying, comes up and says, I don't like you using that word or whatever. I've taught her the thing to say is, I guess it's a good thing I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
Like that, she's used it a couple times, and I've been around, and I'm wondering if that was a good decision or not. I mean, I feel like it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
no, that's good.
It's like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Getting your kids to think, taking the accountability and getting your kids to think for themselves and not go with the flow is huge.
Well,
now, if the flow's going the right way, right? So, like real life scenarios, I don't go with the flow. Right? I'm going to do what I feel is right.
Me too, buddy.
Now, if I'm on the highway and the speed limit's 60 and everyone's driving 80 and I don't like speeding, like I'm a fairly slow driver, right? But
I'm not. I'm fucking hauling ass.
If everyone's going 80, I'm going to go 80 with them because it's actually safer to go 80 in a crowd of cars going 80 than it is to go 60 in the crowd of cars going 80.
Yeah. It's
right?
Like they teach you when you're on a motorcycle to always go faster than the flow of traffic so that you can dictate what's happening.
Yeah. I don't like to, on a motorcycle, because it's so easy to end up in somebody's blind spot, I don't like to stay in the same position in relation to cars.
No, be moving.
Yeah. I want to be either going faster or slower. I don't want to ever be forgotten about in somebody's blind spot, right? And so same thing with raising kids. Teaching your kids to be accountable for their own feelings and say, no, I don't like that. It's a good thing I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
Or if it's somebody, if it's your friend's, or your kid's friend, and they do value their opinion.
Listen.
Thank you for sharing your opinion with me. I'll consider it.
I'm not teaching her that.
Well.
But I understand what you're saying.
But right. Yeah. It's like you do care about your friend's opinion. They've earned it. You know, but like to think like, and this is one of the issues with social media, random strangers going in there, they have no clue who they're talking to.
Nah.
Random strangers doing that, you know, it's like the whole how are the roads thing. We just had all this weather. Everyone's posting, how are the roads? How are the roads? Dumbest question to ask ever on social media, because I'm going to ask a bunch of strangers who inherently I don't trust, but also I have no clue of what their skill level is of driving in this shit. And so I'm going to ask a bunch of strangers, how are the roads? And I'm going to get a mix of answers. They're fine. They're horrible.
You're an idiot for asking this question.
And then, yeah, I'm going to get trolled with the meme that says, I'm fine. And it's the road saying, I'm fine. But then, inevitably, if I want to know how the roads are for my own abilities, I'm going to have to get in my car and I'm going to have to go drive on them and make a decision myself. So, like, asking the question didn't do shit.
Well, you're coming at it from a point of rationale and independent thinking.
Yeah.
And people don't do that.
People don't do that, right.
People just they just do not do it.
Right.
I don't want to keep harping on it, but people are getting dumber, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, they probably are.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
People have no... They have no rational thinking skills anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost like they don't trust themselves to make a decision.
Yep.
Without going to the group or a group or a person.
Yep.
It's not healthy.
Yeah. And like, we built an entire organization in Tradewinds around a group to where you can go ask for help. But it's a very specific group. It's a group of like-minded individuals. It's a group of business owners. It's a group of trades business owners. So what we tell everybody is, when you ask questions in that group, you're not going to get bad advice. You're going to get advice for how other people have done it, and you can pick through it and decide what you want to do.
Yeah, and it's for complicated scenarios a lot of the time.
Sometimes
not
it's
if
complicated.
The road is fucking slick.
Yeah, sometimes it's complicated, sometimes it's not. But for the same reason we have Tradewinds to help your business get better, like, imagine if you went to a national or like a community group and was like, anybody know how to get my Google LSA to function?
Good luck, bro.
There's like 100,000 people in this community group. I'm going to say 98% of them don't own a business and don't manage an LSA page. Like, you're asking the wrong resource.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's why when the guys ask me, what's wrong with my LSA? I go, you better ask Mitch.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know, dog.
Right.
Like,
and so, like, there's just a lot to take the level of accountability to ask your question in the right arena. And also ask questions that, like, you can get legitimate answers to.
Yeah.
You know, like, trying to say what restaurant's good in town. Taste is subjective.
Yeah,
opinion-based
questions are very hard to get a rationale on.
Now, it could be I want to try a new Italian restaurant. I don't know what I don't know. Drop your Italian restaurants here so I can hopefully learn of one that I'm unaware of.
Yeah, or
right?
Pick three or four, and then I know that if I go to one of those three, it's not going to be a shithole.
Right, right.
Have you been to that new one in Blue Springs?
Yeah, it's good.
Total random question. Is it good?
Is good? Yeah.
The one that used that's by the Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yes.
Okay. I've been meaning to hit it up.
It's real good.
Is it pasta or is it like Italian grill?
Both. They'll have fish.
Fantastic.
They got steak. They got pasta.
Fantastic. Dude, Italian grill is my favorite food.
Yeah, they got good wine.
Fantastic.
There's another Italian place in Lee Summit. It's where the old Jazz used to be.
In that shopping center?
Yeah, the end of the shopping center.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That one, you'll have a hard time understanding your waiter because he speaks in Italia.
I love it.
And
I know where we're going next.
And like, Danielle and I go there on date night, and I remember this forever. We like experiences for date night. Like we want to...
You don't just want to go and eat at 54th Street and then go home.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like, we'll try new places. We'll try new things. We expand our experiences. And so we went to this Italian place. And I love, on date night, I love telling the waiter or waitress, like, no on these 5 menu items, but everything else is fair game, surprise me. And Danielle kind of rolls her eyes with it, and I'm like, no, they work here. They know what's good.
Yeah, they know what's shit.
I will trust their
good.
Opinion. As long as I give them some boundaries, I won't ever expand my own horizons unless I have them do it for me.
Yeah.
And so we go there, and I'm like, this salad just says house dressing, but then you have like ranch and all this. Like, what's your house dressing? And he's like,
homemade vinaigrette.
Oh, no. He goes, oh, it's something we do in the kitchen in my mother's recipe. And I'll bring for you. I'll bring for you. You would love.
Was it fantastic?
Oh, my God. It
yeah,
was amazing.
It was fantastic.
And it's like, okay, this guy's picking my meal.
Sold
too.
Me.
Yeah.
He sold me, dog.
So it's really good.
Man, I went when we were in Vegas for the Tradewinds event.
Uh huh.
And our girl, Sydney, she was like our concierge for mm-hmm. our event. I don't remember if it was the first night we were there, whatever. Whenever you spent like $3,000 at the
at the bar,
at the fucking bar, at the cabana, at the pool when I wasn't there.
Yeah.
She wanted to just take me for drinks, and you know, they're just kissing your ass, right?
Uh-huh.
Trying to get you to come back, make you feel good.
Yeah.
So we go and sit at this little bar restaurant. It's really good. I had a martini or something, but she goes, they have oysters here that you would think are like from the coast. I was like, well, let's get them. I hate fucking oysters.
Yeah.
I've never had a good one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, get them. Well, they're pearl oysters. They're tiny. Instead of an oyster being like this and eating a booger, they're real small.
Yep.
Fucking changed my life, dude.
Yeah.
Same thing.
M27 has good ones.
Do they?
Yeah.
I still owe you a dinner. I think that's where we're probably going to go.
Yeah.
I can't decide if we're going to go there or 1587 because I haven't been yet.
1587 is good. You just got to get the reservation at the right time or take a super late one. You can get 8 p.m. reservations fairly easily.
That sounds about right. But on a Friday night.
6 to 8 is hard. Any night of the week is hard.
Back to accountability.
But so like taking accountability to the extreme. You know, Jocko Willink wrote a book called Extreme Ownership. And I read it. And that's probably about the... Like, I already was super accountable, but taking it to the ultimate extreme. So like, let's say you're driving to work. And some guy blows a red light and T-bones you. The ultra extreme method of accountability is, how could I have prevented this? And it's not saying that everything is your fault. It's not saying that. But it's saying, like, I chose to leave my house at this moment that put me in this light cycle to where at the moment that this guy was running the red light, I was there.
It's kind of like the butterfly effect.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
one
just,
little bitty thing that you can control here or there
can
create an outcome 5 days later.
Yes.
Or in the past. It's for time travel, but whatever.
Yeah. And so the butterfly effect is a great example because you're not blaming everything on yourself. You're not piling it on, but you're recognizing accountability is really just the recognition of where I could have changed the outcome. It's not necessarily taking blame for it.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, I'm partially responsible for Mason crashing his truck yesterday because he said, I want to drive up to the church and do donuts. And I said, go learn.
Yeah.
And he never made it there. He crashed his truck before he got there.
Yeah.
And as much as I wanted to say, oh, he's fucking off and that's why he did it. Like,
you don't know that.
I saw the tracks and when someone's fucking off in the snow, those tracks are short and extreme.
Oh, yeah, right? They're back and forth.
His tracks were not very, like, it looks like he just totally got out of the groove and overcorrected, you know? But, like, I allowed him to do that. And I didn't say, no, you aren't allowed to leave the house. And so I am somewhat accountable for the actions that resulted in that. Now, Mason has the most accountability because he was the one physically in control of the vehicle. But
yeah, I think when I think about it that way, it makes me, how do I say this? Whenever you think about things that way, you're not blaming yourself. You're not questioning the decision you're making, but you're questioning it in a way that makes you think about all future decisions.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when you start learning from, this is basically learning from your past mistakes, whether they're actual mistakes or not is irrelevant, but it grows your decision-making process. It grows your accountability towards yourself because at the time of the next decision, you're like, oh, how is that going to turn out?
Right.
That's like future accountability. Like it helps in your just the way that you develop, the way that you handle every situation, the way it's wisdom, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. It makes you more wise when you look back and say, oh, I should have handled it this way instead. Or what if I would, I like the, what if I would have done this instead? What would the outcome have been?
Right.
I do that a lot with conversations. Like I'll think, what if I would have handled it this way? Or what if I would have handled it that way? And then I will, this may make me sound completely insane, I will play out conversations that I know I'm going to have with someone a week from now, a month from now, for situations that may not even occur.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of how my brain works. But then when I have those conversations with people, they seem to be very impactful.
Yeah.
You know, very factual. I have all of my thoughts in order.
Yeah.
And it just helps me communicate with them in a way that I couldn't if I wasn't questioning the things that had happened in the past or the way I handled certain situations.
Right.
Is that too heady?
No. That's how intentional you are with how you speak with people.
I try to be.
You take accountability of the conversation. You don't let it go where it's going to go. You want to control, like you're taking ownership of the quality of the conversation.
Unless I've had too much to drink.
Well, right. But just remember, drunk words are sober thoughts. So...
Oh, I'm not saying I regret it. I'm just saying maybe I shouldn't say some of the things I say, you know?
So like sales-wise, accountability sales-wise, how many, like, I'll say this, and you all are going to think either of yourself or somebody that you know that does this. Hey, why didn't you sell that guy the sewer? We good?
No, you're good. Go ahead. Why didn't you sell that
guy the
sewer?
Why didn't you guys sell that guy the sewer? Oh, it was a bad lead. Spouse wasn't home. They don't have the money. Can't get approved for financing. Like, it's all passing the blame.
Yeah.
Right? And then that same guy, how'd you make the big sale? Oh, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
Right? So they want to take the credit when they win, and they want to shed accountability when they lose.
Yeah, you mean the CSR didn't tee it up for you?
Right.
You mean the guy that went last week and augured the sewer and made a great impression and they loved him? That didn't set you up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like accountability in sales is saying, okay, I lost, but what could I have done different? And so now you allow yourself to do a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking. But you're not down on yourself. It's to prepare for next time. It's the wisdom. It's gaining the experience, right? Yeah. So like it would be like, all right, I lost. Well, the spouse wasn't home. It was obvious they needed to be home. So maybe I haven't lost it. Maybe I just need to circle back when the spouse is home.
Yeah.
Or, okay, they couldn't get approved for financing. I need to find a second chance financing offer. I need to find a lower end financing for when they don't get approved for our primary one. Or the price was too high. Well, I should have come up with options that were maybe not a complete sale, but you know, something within their budget. Like being able to walk away from losses with lessons is accountability. Being able to walk away from losses with excuses is the antithesis of accountability.
Ooh, antithesis. That's a good word. You got your word a day toilet paper back?
No. I got 52 Things to Do Why You Poo by Hugh Janus. It's a book on my toilet.
What the fuck is the matter with you? Oh, my God.
So something that's funny, you know, brothers, they always love to rib each other. And our boys are, they go through phases where they hate each other and then they kind of like each other and then they hate each other. And they're in the phase where they kind of like each other now.
Dude,
and
I know you and your brother don't see each other a lot and get along. Me and my brother are still the same way.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I know.
It's awful.
Yeah. And so Mason crashes his truck. He gets home.
Oh, man.
He's already texted his brother and told him. He gets home and he goes downstairs and gets his brother so his brother can see the damage. And Danielle and I are like, yeah, look at that. They're being brothers. This is cool. So then Mason had to leave. He's wanting to try out for the golf tournament. And so he's doing a lot of practice at these indoor.
Try out for the golf team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Team.
Okay.
I said tournament.
Yeah. So he's been going down to like birdies and
indoor par
four
birdies.
There's two in Blue Springs.
And, yeah. He's been going to Golf Ranch when the weather's good. And he's been playing when the weather's good and when he can. But he has to play at Blue Springs Country Club because Adam Zeri won't give him a cart. They have a, like, he's got to be 18 or 21. To
I think he got to be 18.
Yeah. So he gets, I mean, Blue Springs Country Club's kind of rough, but they, it is what it is.
They give no fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so last night he was supposed to go to indoor par four. And so they had the reservation and everything. I said, call to make sure they're still open. And he's like, well, what truck am I going to drive now? And I'm like, well, I guess you have to take mine.
I guess you're walking.
And Grant goes, you're really going to let him wrap your truck around a light pole too? And Mason's like, fuck you. And
I love it, dude.
And as he was walking out the door, as he's walking out the door, I said something like, hit him straight. And he, the door closes and Grant goes, he's talking about golf balls, not light poles. So funny.
What a shithead.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Little shithead.
But like accountability goes so far all the way across the gamut. If we take extreme accountability for every call we run, every interaction we have, every conversation we have, we take accountability for how we manage metrics in our business. Things happen. When we shed accountability, things don't happen. If we run from accountability, bad things happen, right? So what I'm getting at is like you reach a comfort level in business where you don't have to be on your game as much, on the accountability game as much, because you've kind of gotten to like a new norm where the business just, we just do $80,000 a month in revenue, or we just do $60,000 a month in revenue.
Yeah.
And the business is making enough for you to make more than you were working for somebody else. You got some guys that are pretty easy to work with right now that don't seem to ask for much, like things are comfortable. That's where that like teeter balance of shedding accountability versus throwing in excuses can be the biggest hurt for you. Maintaining a strict level of accountability all the way through the growth of your business helps ensure that your business keeps growing. But if you get to that comfort point where like let's say you were really accountable to the numbers and the margins and the profit and the sales and everything, and then you got to this new level of normal and then you slacked on that accountability. Well, why were your sales bad last month? I don't know. I didn't track numbers. I didn't hold myself accountable.
Yeah.
And then when you have a good month next month, well, I must have just done better. No, what do the numbers indicate? Well, I don't know. I slacked on the numbers. I didn't put them down there.
Yeah.
And so, like, holding accountability at all levels is key. Just remember, accountability is the pursuit in understanding how your inputs affected the output. It's not blaming your inputs for the outputs. And so, and what I mean by that is, like, if you go too hard down the accountability path, you end up being too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And then you don't give yourself a break.
Well, and then that's not healthy.
Right.
Like, it's extreme. Let's be honest. It can be more detrimental to your success than not holding yourself accountable at all.
Take Mason crashing his truck. If he holds himself too accountable to the point where he's blaming himself, I guess I'm just a bad driver. I'm never going to drive in the snow again. Driving's just unsafe.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, no, let's recognize we did everything perfect up to that moment. Let's just recognize the couple of things that we can improve on next time. It, maybe don't go as fast. Maybe don't be so hard on the brakes. We realize that brakes are a lot touchier on the slick.
Yeah.
You know, maybe don't panic and lock the brakes. Maybe realizing that we've got time before we hit anything, let's let off.
Yeah. I guarantee it was the panic thing that got
him.
He panicked and just hammered them things to the ground, and it was
if he would have let off the brakes, he would have, like, he still would have spun out and probably left the road. But, I mean, keep in mind, he only left the road by 3 feet. That light pole is on the edge of the road.
He could have also just ended up in that other lane.
Right.
He also could have spun out and just stopped in the middle of the road.
Right.
Like, you know.
But, I mean, spun out, like, what, 10 feet farther down the road?
No light pole,
but storm drain. And that would have, like, ripped tires off the car.
Yeah, but you could have fixed that.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can put a rear end on.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But, like, some of the stuff you can't take extreme. Like, you can just, you can't really control the outcome. You can just control the inputs that led to the outcome, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
So, it's one of the hardest things to do, but it's also one of the measures of somebody that actually excels or somebody that just rides their experience for a couple of years. And one of the things that David and I have learned in Tradewinds is the longer it takes somebody to ask a question, the less likely they are to do what we instruct them to do to solve the problem. And so let me give you a prime example of this.
Not always, but you're right.
You get a, like, we'll get a somebody in Tradewinds and they have a question. And their question will be like, okay, so I have a question, and this is unique. It's something that only my business deals with because
X, Y, and Z.
Because of where we are in the climate that we're in. But so we have this customer, and they agreed to pay some money, and it was going to be credit card, and then it went to check, and then they said, do I get a cash discount? And anyway, we did the work. And we asked for payment and they weren't there. And so now, like, they aren't returning my phone calls to get paid.
Yeah.
That whole thing was like staging excuses.
Yeah.
Because the answer is you call that person up and you get paid. You don't give them a pass. Like, you did your part of the work. You go get paid. Right. It's also not an exclusive problem in business.
There's no, that's
every business
all over
out
the
there
board.
Has trouble getting paid, right?
Yeah.
But like when I say the longer it takes to ask the question, the less likely they are to do the answer, is because the reason it's taking them so long to ask the question is because they're teeing up excuses along the way.
Well, they're not holding themselves accountable.
Right.
And I wrote down earlier, they think they will look bad and they care too much about what other people think.
Right.
And that, I think in Tradewind specifically, like they don't want to look bad.
Right.
No one wants to look bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you've got to get, this goes to the pride conversation we had last week.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Let your pride down. Hold yourself accountable for not getting the money.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, that's not a question you even ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've answered the question. The real problem is you didn't hold yourself accountable for how that job went down, how you build, or how you have or have not followed up with that job.
Yeah.
It's 100% accountability on your part. You're just not accepting it.
Yeah.
When you accept accountability, excuses go out the roof, out the room, and you just understand how to solve the problem. It's almost like it just solves itself.
Yeah.
You know the answer. You just don't want to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not holding myself accountable here. I fucked this up.
Yeah. You don't want to do the hard thing.
It's almost like a learned thing, too. And I know I said wisdom earlier. But I think it is for especially guys, you know, that are our age and have been in a specific industry or whatever for so long. We just know and have learned to hold ourselves accountable and to say, I fucked up.
Yeah.
And so instead of it becoming a decision to make, we just automatically do it. It's a learned behavior at that point. And we're just like, nope, I fucked that up.
Yeah.
I got to get past it. I'll call Mitch and be like, hey, dude, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll rat myself out blatantly.
Yep.
Because I know the second that I let go of that myself and hold myself accountable and say, I did this, I messed up, it's out of the bag, I have no other choice but to rectify it and move the fuck on with my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the person that calls into their boss and says, hey, I'm going to be a couple of minutes late, traffic's crazy. And then they walk into the door of the business holding a brand new, like, venti, iced chai, grande, latte thing.
Dude, Hostess from Quick Trip, baby.
Right?
Mm.
Like
zingers in the morning.
Like, was traffic bad, or did you get out of the house late and you still chose to swing through Starbucks? And if you wouldn't have gone through Starbucks, you would have been at work on time. Like,
of course,
that's that accountability thing. I'm going to be late. Traffic. They're not even holding themselves accountable to their schedule.
Yeah.
Right. And or it's like me speeding to work at 8:10. Or me speeding trying to get to work on time when I'm supposed to work at 8 and I left my house at 8:10.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you didn't give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
At that point, why even speed?
It's over, dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
The individual pieces of accountability will take you much farther than anything else. And what's funny is once you hold yourself accountable on all of those little things, it'll change how you perceive other people. Because all of a sudden, other people start to look real lazy.
Well, you can recognize your behavior in others once you fix your behavior.
Yeah.
It becomes blatantly obvious, which in turn makes you a better leader.
Yeah.
As long as you're not a dick with the information that you've gathered, you know, but it allows you to be able to handle those bad actors, I don't know, quicker, better?
Yeah.
However you want to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is this even kind of goes into politics a little bit too.
I thought we weren't going to do politics.
No, we're not going to go politics, but like take left or right to the extremes, those extreme left and extreme right people. They're loons, right?
Hey, I don't want government. Does that make me a loon?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll take it if it does. I don't care.
But those people love shedding the blame on other things, right? And they love not taking accountability, like take these extremists that want socialism. That's the ultimate lack of accountability.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold myself accountable to produce money. I want the general population to produce money for me. I don't want to hold myself accountable for negotiating a good wage at a good job. I would rather just stay at the job I hate, go on strike, and demand my CEO pay me more.
Yeah.
And then they use these arbitrary things like the CEO makes $1 million a year and I make $13 an hour. They can afford it. Right. And that is shedding accountability to the extreme. And to me, that's almost an embarrassing level of shedding an accountability. Like, how embarrassing that you think your outcome is dictated by all these other people. That's like the ultimate participation trophy. Like,
yeah.
I can't win unless all these other people provide for me.
Yeah. You know, they'll go and talk under the veil of, you know, there are certain people that just can't make it. You're right. And we have programs for those people.
Yeah.
If you would get off your lazy fucking ass and stop sucking at the tit,
yeah,
those people would have the money that they're supposed to have.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend like you're downtrodden like they are.
Right.
You're just fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the flip-flopping of accountability is also an interesting thing. And you'll see this more in politics than you will in business, but it still helps understand a person's personality. For instance, I'll pick on liberals for a second. last
you say that like I didn't know it was fucking coming.
Well, like last term when Biden was in office, nobody cared about a single person getting deported out of this nation. But now all of a sudden everyone's clutching their pearls.
I know,
and now
Obama was dubbed deporter in chief.
Yeah.
And no one gave two shits.
Right. But now all of a sudden these people have families. We're ripping them away from their kids. They arrested this person on their birthday. They took them out of their house on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They went to their jobs. Kids are afraid to go to school. Like, hold on. Like, what's really changed in the last 4 to 8 years with that? Nothing. It's a flip-flop of accountability. And it's you're selectively choosing to hold, you're trying to hold other people accountable when it suits you the best. And that doesn't make any good sense.
Like, let's be clear. This isn't a whether they should do it or not. It's if you're going to do it all the way around.
Right.
You know what I mean? This isn't a deportation talk. This is a, everyone should be treated fairly in their decision-making process.
Yeah.
If you're going to jump on this one, you got to jump on that one.
Yeah.
Employees are the same way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you're going to be hard on your employees for not keeping their tools clean, but then Joe over here, your number one salesman, you let him get a free pass on keeping his tools clean, and you'll actually help him, or you'll make one of the other guys help him, you can't do that either.
Yeah.
You have to be consistent.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that stems all the way around everywhere, is holding people as equally accountable. But also accountability is something that you can only do to people you manage. You cannot hold strangers accountable.
You can try, but you're right.
You can try. Now, when it comes to safety and things like that, let's say you're at a grocery store and you see some middle-aged person picking on an old person. You're going to go in there and stop that, right? And that's some form of accountability. You're gonna hold the middle-aged person accountable for picking on the elderly person.
Yeah,
right?
What are you doing, dude?
Right, but I'm not talking that. Like that's violence and mistreatment and all that stuff. But like to think that you could go to like a public forum made of all varieties, all incomes, all age, races, all creeds, colors, religions, everything, a melting pot of people, and hold strangers accountable. Ain't gonna happen.
No,
it's just not gonna happen. Also, holding customers accountable doesn't happen. And what I mean by that, like you'll see businesses all the time. I saw a post yesterday. We got cold weather coming around. This guy had a double check vacuum breaker.
Okay.
Or a automatic vacuum breaker.
For his hydrant.
Yeah.
Outside.
Well, for his irrigation system.
Oh, okay.
So line comes out the rim of the house.
You're talking in place of a backwater valve.
Yes.
Is a double check instead of a traditional backwater.
No, he did not have a double check. It was a PVV, a pressure vacuum breaker. Okay.
So no RPZ, no double check.
Pressure vacuum breaker is what he had.
I don't know what that is. I'll pretend like I do.
It's one step below a double check. But you can use it in low hazard situations like irrigation.
Yeah,
and so
I had a double check at my old house.
This person had a frozen and broken automatic back PPV, pressure vacuum breaker, and
too many acronyms.
Like 10 months ago, this plumber replaced it. Well, the new one's frozen, broke, and this plumber goes onto this forum and he's like, "Am I responsible for this? The customer's saying it didn't last a year, and I have to replace this."
No, you do not have to.
No,
replace
it's
that.
Fucking frozen, right?
Yeah. Why didn't he have his fucking shit evacuated?
And so then somebody else gets on there, oh, that's 1,000% on you. You installed a device in a position where it can freeze. You didn't give them a drain down. You didn't give them proper education. You didn't. Okay, you're a stranger. You don't know what conversations or options was given and what wasn't.
You don't even know if he could put it in any other position.
Right. Right.
You don't know if he didn't have it drained down at all.
Right.
Like you're supposed to.
Right. There's like, a lot the of fuck, things dude. We don't know, but tradesmen love to do this.
Oh yeah, dude, they stand up there with their fucking chest out and they're like, I know better than all of you.
Well, and they like to act like it's our job to do the most perfect repair regardless of the customer's budget. In other words, like, we'll put a water heater in without an expansion tank. The customer has an expansion tank option, but I care about selling the water heater more than the perfect install.
Well, where we live, you can't force someone to do that either. It's their home.
Right.
They own it. You can't force them to change.
And so, like, I'll give you an option for a water heater without expansion tank, one with an expansion tank, and one with an expansion tank and PRV. Okay? If you choose the bottom option, and then your temperature pressure relief valve starts dripping, we talk about it up front.
Do you have that in the description of the sale? Okay, good.
It's not like a liability thing. We just tell them, like, there's a valve on the side of the tank that could start dripping if you don't have at least the middle option. But we don't make you buy anything you don't want to buy. So if you want to try the bottom option, that's fine. If that valve on the side of the tank starts dripping, we'll have to come back and add the tank to it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, cool. Well, other plumbers would come in there and be like, look at Smedley Plumbing. They didn't put an expansion tank on. This thing won't pass code.
Yeah. What code? Which code?
The customer didn't want it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't make a customer buy something they don't want to buy.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. If you try to make someone code upgrade, quote unquote, you lose that sale at least 50-60% of the time.
Yeah.
They feel like you are forcing or bending their arm and making them spend
money. They think
you're
lying to them.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, that's why we made the video that's got like 800,000 fucking views on YouTube about, do I need a thermal expansion tank? It's because it's one of the most common questions out there.
Yeah.
We literally, like, if you're a plumber listening to that show, go type in Smedley Plumbing, do I need a thermal expansion tank, and save it. Because, like, it didn't make me any money. Like, we're not monetized at that level on YouTube where it makes a hill of beans a difference to me. So this isn't like a pitch for you to watch our video. This is a pitch to help you sell more water heaters.
Yeah.
Because
it helps you sell expansion tanks and maybe PRVs if you then share that with a customer and you've given them that option and they are like, well, I don't know. You can say, hey, watch this. And
I didn't even
I'll
make this video.
Decide.
Yeah, I didn't even make this video.
This is just a
well thought out video that shows why you need an expansion tank. Watch it and decide for yourself, right? But like, we run into that all the time. And they'll be like, oh, Smedley didn't even put on an expansion tank. Or I'll get a photo. Like, I'll have another plumber see one of our installs, and they'll send me a photo of it and be like, one of your guys put in a water heater without an expansion tank. Just thought I'd let you know.
You know what you should do?
Cool. I told them to.
You should have a typed up thing and then have it laminated and then tape those to the side of the heater just for those fucking scenarios.
Yeah.
Like it says,
hey,
we
future service
this.
Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't message me. I don't care what you think.
There's that comes into that like contractor bashing that a lot of people do where they love to bash the other guy.
Dude, it's bad.
And they think that somehow they're looking better if they can stomp down the other guy.
Well, it's because they have low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Or are actually bad at their job. That's usually what I've seen.
Yeah.
Like if I Facebook stalk those people and then like it's 3 years of experience and 22 years old and doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Right. Right.
The HVAC groups I'm in and the plumbing groups I'm in, they're bad, dude.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad. A lot of the coaching groups are bad. I will say this. Tradewinds has the best culture in our Facebook group because we don't fucking let that shit fly.
That does not
fucking happen.
I tell everybody that's coming into our group, for one, we don't allow anonymous posts because, like, if you don't have the ball, like, we're all business owners in this group. And one of the things that we teach in Tradewinds is the humility to vocalize that you don't know everything. That's literally why you're in the group. So, like, why would you be bashful about asking a question?
Yeah.
And so anonymous posting is turned off. And I tell everybody that's like signing up for Tradewinds or asking for information. I said, our group, there is no bullshit. There is no trolling.
Nope.
There is no tearing anybody down. I said, the most tearing down in the group you'll see is like
Dave
you'll see,
on himself.
You'll see me and Dave throwing shit at each other, but it's just in fun, good games, right? And now Ray, you and Ray have the longstanding.
I have a good thing with Ray and Castro.
Yeah,
Mr. Castro and I are. Yeah.
Yep. But he fucking smoked me in fantasy football this week. By
and way. I shouldn't say just those guys. Those are just the guys that openly talk shit on me.
Yeah, yeah. You're to the level where you can talk shit. But like,
yeah, and if you do it, if there is anything, I think it only happened like maybe the first year we were doing it. You get a phone call from me.
Yeah.
And that's. That was, I think I did that twice.
Yeah.
In like 3.5 years, maybe.
Yep. Yeah,
we don't want that fucking phone call.
We don't allow the poor behavior and all of that stuff. We'll either boot you from Tradewinds or we're just going to have a talk and.
Dude, I've given guys back their fucking money and said, get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No thanks. Sorry.
So that's the coolest thing with us being month to month in Tradewinds.
Yeah.
Is we got to earn your business every month.
Dude, it was just one guy. I gave him 3 months back.
Yeah.
And told him to get fucking lost.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I don't care.
Yep.
Well, I paid this and that. I said, I'll refund all your fucking money.
It ain't about money.
Dude, I'm on Stripe right now. Yep. Refunded. Boom. I'll even eat the credit card bullshit. I don't care. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It's holding a group accountable.
Yeah.
People we manage, so we can hold them accountable. And it's about holding them accountable so we maintain the culture that we want. So,
yeah.
Hopefully you guys go pick up the book, Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. It's a great book. It basically parallels his naval deployments. I think it was Navy. I think it was Navy SEAL.
What's it called?
Extreme Ownership.
I've got
it downstairs.
I'm not going to read it.
But
you know what? I might. I don't know. I'm going to put a...
It basically talks about like his...
I'll put it in the description.
His tactical deployments, and when they would go bad, they'd break down. Why do they go bad? Right? I'll end it on this. One of the things that I suggest you do in your team meetings, if you're listening to this and you run a team of people, whether you're the owner or just a manager or whatever, we started doing a thing in our company called the Big Job Breakdown, where we take either the biggest or the most complex or the most disastrous job from the prior week, and we break it down as a team. And we have some rules for the Big Job Breakdown. There is no blaming anybody else. There is only personal accountability, and there is open discussion about how we could all do this better. Okay? And so...
Mm-hmm. I like it, dude.
Let's just say it's a job. Well, I mean, the big job, we got both of our cameras stuck in a drain line the day before Thanksgiving last week.
Ooh!
Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we went out to auger a drain line. They were trying to get their drain lines open for Thanksgiving.
How does that even fucking happen?
We augered it. It didn't open up. We stuck a camera in to try to look at what we were dealing
with. See if it's roots or whatever.
And the camera went into muck and then wouldn't come back.
Ooh.
And then more flushing and auger work and everything else. We finally got the line kind of draining with the camera stuck in it. But now the bottom of the pipe rotted out and the camera just fell through the bottom.
Oh, bummer.
And so we stick, you know, we're trying all these other things to get our camera retrieved. And I know a lot of people think they can always get cameras back. We've gotten cameras stuck in lines a ton, and we've always gotten them back, except, like, this is maybe the third time in 25 years where I've had to dig up a camera.
Oof.
And so...
The pipe had to have been gone and then eroded so much that it was able to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely
and usually
flat, and then the springs caught on the pipe, exactly. And you can't get it out. Yeah.
And usually we just sell the repair, and then we just get our camera back when we make the repair. Well, in this case, the guy had no money for the repair. None. Couldn't get approved for financing. No money.
And you're like, I got to have my camera.
And so I send our manager over there with another camera and like, let's run this camera up behind the other one.
Slowly.
And that way we can at least see what we're dealing with, right? Runs the camera up behind the other one. Clunk, clunk, clunk. It falls through the bottom of the pipe.
Fuck.
He didn't run it through the same hole.
Different part.
More of the pipe broke out.
Oh, damn.
So now we have two cameras stuck in their line.
This got to be Independence.
Northern Independence, actually.
They're the only ones that still have cast iron.
This is in their house, in their garage.
Oh,
three
shit.
3 feet deep in their garage.
Oh, shit.
And so...
It's only funny because it's not me.
We screwed up, and we said this is $10,000 to fix this, because it was $10,000 for a whole new sewer.
Oh, and not the spot repair.
Well, now the guy's like, fuck you, get out of here. I'll find somebody to do this for like $2,000. I got $2,000. And I'm like, bro, why did we go with the extreme thing? Like, why didn't we just give them a price? Here's what it takes to get our cameras back.
Yeah, and fix this spot of pipe, yeah. And then we can give you an honest evaluation on what's going on before it and or after it.
Right. And so it ended up actually working out okay. We were prepared to go there Monday and dig up the cameras ourselves. And we were just, Monday was family first day. So we were just going to call it a family first job.
Yeah, you were going to write it off, cameras,
yeah,
pour back concrete, get the fuck on with your
life. And we may not have even done the concrete stuff. We may have just gotten our cameras back, patched our pipe, and moved on. Like, it was kind of up in the air on how much the customer, they were great.
I was going to say they would have had to have been.
The customer was amazing. They weren't blaming us for anything. Some customers are very myopic in that, and they think, oh, you got your camera stuck just so you could sell me the sewer. And it's like, bitch, my camera costs more than your repair.
Well, or the excuse of, well, now you fucked it up so bad, you're going to have to fix it because it wasn't like this before.
Right. No, the customer was really great, and he understood the Family First program, and he did not want to use that. But
you're like, dude, it's too late.
Yeah. And so like up front, he was talking about like, well, if you guys do, then like I'll fill it in and I'll do the concrete if you guys just do the pipe thing. Like he was trying to work with us, right?
Well, he wanted it fixed too.
He ended up having his buddy come over on Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, and they broke it up, dug it, and got the pipe put back together and we got a text Thursday afternoon saying your cameras are out and they're safe and they're undamaged in the basement.
Dude, I'd have gave him $500 and been like, dude, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, and, holy shit.
And so, but like, even on that, it's like, that'll be our big job breakdown where we're not going to blame anybody. Nobody did anything wrong there.
No, you're just trying to learn from the bad circumstances that happened.
And like, I posted about it online and I was getting some heat like, oh yeah, what do you call, insanity? Right? Doing the same thing.
Oh, for putting the other camera down there?
For putting the second camera in. And I'm like, no, this is different because if we can't get the one out, we have to dig it up anyway. And if we're already scheduled to come out Monday and dig it up anyway.
You're down that road already.
What? And we're closed from Wednesday to Monday. What's it matter if we take another camera and try to free up our one and now we free up our Monday? Worst case scenario, we get the other camera stuck. We were already digging it up Monday anyway. Yeah. Like,
well, people can't rationally think that way. They don't. They can't mentally problem solve, and they just want to. They jump to the first thought they had.
Yep.
I love when people will do that. They'll type it all out, and then you'll say one thing, and then that post is gone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they actually had a rational thought after that, and we're like, ah, yeah, I fucked that up.
Yeah. Right.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange thing for sure. But being able to hold yourself accountable in those situations and how we do it as a team is that will be our big job breakdown. And we're not going to chastise anybody.
It's not me.
That's me.
We're wrapping up. It's okay.
Let's
wrap this up and call them back.
We're not chastising anybody. We're openly discussing as a team so everybody can learn what went right, what went wrong, and how do we do better next time.
I will say one thing, and then you're going to wrap us up. When you, as a manager, if you're having that meeting, if you throw yourself under the bus first, and I don't mean just this one meeting or that meeting. I'm saying if you're going to start having these meetings and then having these conversations, you've got to be the first one to take a bullet.
Yep.
So make something up if you have to. Pick a job from back in the past. Hey, we're going to go over this job. And the guys know that you're the one that fucked it up.
Yeah.
Okay? Guys don't want to be pulled down on the rug by the guy that's the best at the job.
Yeah.
If that guy takes the first bullet, it opens up the door for them to be accepting to your conversations.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, it really doesn't matter who you pick. Once you've gained their trust that, hey, they're not picking on me, they're not just throwing the worst of us under the bus, this is an everybody problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and since all of your service techs work independently out in the field, when one person has the fortunate opportunity to go through a rare experience, you're wasting the whole team's experience to not share that experience amongst the whole team.
Yeah.
Like, how often do cameras fall out of the bottoms of pipes? Not very often.
Pretty rare.
So why would I waste this opportunity and not share it amongst the entire team? Hey, guys, this is what happened. No way to prevent it. So nobody's at fault. Here's what we tried that seemed to work. Here's what we tried that didn't work. Here's what I would try in the future. Here's what we know doesn't work.
Yeah.
And now everybody is smarter.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the purpose of those. And so when you're having those conversations, do not ever use the word you.
We
or I.
Yeah.
Right? I, when we're taking accountability. We, when we're taking credit. Okay? We put the other camera in there and we're able to manipulate it and we got it back. I ran the camera in there and I got it stuck.
Yeah.
Right? you wouldn't flip those around. You wouldn't say, you got it in there and got it stuck. I got it free.
That's what bad managers
That creates do. Tension,
yeah.
right? And so keep it as a we format and the team will grow together. You put it as an I format and you're just looking for a place to stay on a pedestal in front of your team.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gives Good you stuff. A little bit about accountability. So we will catch up with you all next
time. Thanks.